Oh, I know.
Nobody else knows.
I know.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Leanne, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Leanne.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with a serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know
the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. And the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So the format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. So this evening, we're going to be discussing step 10, which is continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So if y'all will help me introduce our panel tonight, we have Emma and David. Yeah. So I'm going to read the first paragraph on page 84, and then the panel will share a few minutes on each of the readings. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code.
Hello, everyone. My name is Emma. I'm an alcoholic.
Emma.
My sobriety date is September 25th, 2011. I'm actually from Richmond, but my home group while I was here for the summer was AA 101 on Sunday mornings at 11. And I have a sponsor who I talk to often. And step 10 for me, you know, there's a lot there. In my experience, it's been the most underrated step, and that's just my opinion. It's not a fact. It's just, you know, my opinion. And, you know, when I was drinking, and even when I'm just sober and I'm not doing anything, you know, and I'm just sitting in myself, You know, I'm full of feelings. And I love to make decisions based off of those feelings, you know? I'm restless, I'm irritable, I'm discontent. But what does that mean? What does that look like for a person like me? You know, I'm restless, I hate myself, I'm uncomfortable in my own skin, always have to be doing something, saying something, being something, you know, and I'm irritable, I'm reacting emotionally, you know. If I'm depressed, I'm depressed. If I'm angry, I'm angry, you know. And also, discontent, you know, nothing is ever enough for me. Nothing. You know, I can't stress that enough. It's like you have a piece of, you know, my favorite kind of pie, and it's like this cherry pie, and, you know, you push it towards me, and I'm like, it's not hot enough, you know, and you go and heat it up for me, and you're like, here you go, I heated it up for you. There's no whipped cream on top, you know. You go put some whipped cream on top. There's no sprinkles on top. Whatever, you know. And I don't even want it anymore. You know, you're done. So you know, that's how my life looks. Not only when I'm drinking, but the key here is that when I'm sober, you know, and to get rid of all that stuff, those feelings, I have to take a drink because I'm an alcoholic. I drink for the effect produced by alcohol, you know, not because of the taste, not because of the look, not because of any other reason, you know, and I don't get it why people have one glass of wine a night because they say it's good for you. Two bottles, good for me, like, whatever. So, you know, that's my issue. And another issue that I have is that I have this lack of power. I can't say no when it's presented to me, and you know, I can't stop once I start. So, you know, that's what I come in with. And as I, you know, started working these steps with a sponsor, and I started going through the book, you know, because I was desperate. I didn't want to be in me anymore. I was tired of feeling like that, you know. And I start working the steps with a sponsor, and I get relief by taking these actions, you know, the guidelines, the, you know, simple actions that are laid out and shown to me by a sponsor, you know. And in the third step, you know, the first two steps were simply merely ideas. You know, step one, I'm powerless over alcohol. My life has become unmanageable. You know, I'm powerless. Can't take it or leave it alone, unmanageable. When I try to manage anything, situations, drinking or not drinking, it never works out long term, permanently. You know, step two, I came to believe in a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. What sanity, you know? I'm insane. That thought, like, oh, yeah. At 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm studying, oh, you should take a drink right now, you know, that would like help you finish this assignment. Yeah. You know, that insane idea, that's my insanity. That precedes the first drink. So I believe, you know what? I tried the boyfriend card, I tried the girlfriend card, I tried the my mom's love will keep me sober card. You know, I tried everything in the list and I realized no human, no thing, no other substance will relieve me from that insanity. And I got with that idea. And step three is where I carried that out and I took a position, you know, and I said, I offer myself to thee. You know, what is thee? This, you know, higher power, this concept that I came up with my sponsor, which is really, really simple. It's just a thing, you know, the universe, nature, whatever, that is kind, loving, understanding, forgiving. Everything that I'm not, that I've proven to be, that I'm not. I cannot be that on my own. I can't force that on my own. So, you know, that is my higher power. And in exchange, I get that relief, you know, and I continue. I launch into a course of vigorous action, step four. So I, you know, explained all of that because when I get to step 10, this is where, you know, the basic concepts, the basic, you know, the steps 4 through 9 are outlined in the previous pages up until this point. How to do it, what to do. You know, and I was shown by a sponsor because I didn't know. Second of all, you know, they all flow into step 10. So where it says, this brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue. Oh, you mean I don't graduate? Okay, like, this is like, you know, 28 days, like, you know, you get your free pay, $200, and you get your free jail card, whatever, you know. No, continue means, you know, I don't know the definition off the top of my head, but, you know, for me, that means that I have to keep going. I have to keep doing that constantly. So, here we go, you know. It starts with, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. That sounds a lot like step 4, you know, where I made a moral inventory. I looked at those things, those feelings, you know, the causes and conditions that drive me to drink. They block me off from that higher power that I gained access to finally. You know, I never tried it. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. That sounds like steps 6 and 7. We discuss them with someone immediately. Step 5. And make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Step 8 and 9. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Step 12. You know, and for me, with this part, and then I'll stop. Sorry. Sharing with somebody else. You know, I had in my experience when I was in AA, you know, I'd read these questions and I would just be like, yep, I was selfish. Yep, I was dishonest. Yep, yep, yep. And I wouldn't tell somebody else. And I sat with that. And I did that for 2 years. And it brought me to the point, you know, where I wanted to put a bullet in my head again, you know, because I was sitting with all of that crap still. So, you know, it's really crucial for me to share that with somebody else. And, you know, I've had God do for me what I can't do for myself. There have been people put into my life that I can share that with. You know, I had 2 years sober. I was working in a restaurant, and my boss is in the rooms, and I was like, you know, he saw me going back and forth and was like, how are you doing, really, you know? And, you know, I come to work one day and he's like, hey, can you get that table? I was waitressing. He's like, hey, can you get that table in the back? That guy's visiting from Ohio. He has like 37 years. He got sober when he was, you know, 16 or something. And I was like, oh, cool. So I went back and I started talking to him. And he's like, oh, so you can take me to a meeting tomorrow. Like, I'm visiting and I need to get to a meeting. I was like, okay. So I met with him the next morning. And then afterwards, you know, we got coffee and I started talking to him and I was like, I'm about to take this girl through the steps. I don't know if I can do it, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, all right, what do you do for a 10th step? And I was like, you mean 11th step? Like, yeah, I do that at night, you know, when we retire at night. And he's like, no, like 10th step, what are you doing? Who are you sharing that with? And he showed me exactly what he did. He gave me one of his sponsee's phone numbers. She lives in Ohio, never met her, ever. And ever since that moment, you know, I text it to her, and I've been abroad, and I email it to her when I go out of the country. And it's like, that is something for me, because I let that crop up to the point where it just boiled over. And then I start acting out, and, you know, we'll get to that. But anyway, sorry.
No,
you're fine. I'll pass for now.
Hey everybody, I'm an alcoholic. My name's David. I am grateful to be here and grateful to be sober tonight. I'm excited to be here. This is my home group. I love coming here on Monday nights. I'm attached to the people that are here. I'm excited to see a lot of people that I love here every Monday night. I have a sobriety date. It's October 24th, 1989. I was 28 years old when I got sober. I was 55 on my last birthday. Nobody was counting on me to live this long, including me. I was 22 years old when I first met you guys. So I took a lot of convincing. I do have a sponsor. My sponsor is aware that he sponsors me. Just, I'd like to give an honorable mention to sponsorship. I also like to give an honorable mention to alcohol in an AA meeting. I believe I qualified for this program by the time I was 14. I had everything that that Emma just laid out. Once I start, I don't stop, and when I stop, I can't stay stopped. I thought that was the normal reaction to alcohol. I thought everybody reacted that way. You know, I never had a drink of alcohol that didn't think it'd be a good idea to have another drink of alcohol. You know, I mean, that's just drinking. So I just assume everybody feels like that. I just assume that everybody gets rocketed into the fourth dimension when they get a alcohol buzz going. I love that feeling of being 10 feet tall and bulletproof, handsome, able to sing. I love that stuff. I love what it did for me. And and then I turned 15. Yeah, so if it still worked really well, I'd probably still be doing it. But I washed up on the shores of Alcoholics Anonymous, 22 years old, busted and disgusted, out of gas, broken, incoherent, hostile, unable to communicate with people, been up for 3 or 4 days. I could ask if I could smoke in here, I could grunt, I could object to stuff. You know, I knew I had like a 3-word feeling vocabulary, like I'm good, I'm pissed, I'm wasted. You know, that was about the best I could do to describe my world, you know. And I met you guys. And you guys told me that what my problem was. If I was an alcoholic, that I had a physical and mental issue going on. I was, and 1 out of 10 people have it, David. You guys told me that on my first day. 1 out of 10 people. And that means, of course, 9 out of 10 people don't have it. But I'm not interested in hanging out with them. I want to hang out with the 1 out of 10ers. I want to go with, you know, if we go out on a Friday night and you get halfway through your second drink and yawn and say, I got a big day tomorrow, we're not going out again, you know. I want to go out with Brad, you know. After we close this place, we're going back to my house. I got a jug back there. My roommate's got some magic powders. And we got a night on tonight. And those are the people I hang with. That's the way I want to roll. I like getting ripped out of the frame, falling down, regrettably stupid, hammered, drunk. Not interested in being tipsy. A warm glow doesn't do anything for me other than tell me I'm on the right track.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just drinking, and I just assume everybody drinks like that. And if I could continue to drink like that, I reckon I would be. But anyway, I met you guys, and you told me that I had this thing. And that the third thing you told me that I didn't believe was that I couldn't do anything about it myself. And I'm one of the people who said thanks for the information. And I left, and I remained bone dry for a year, age 22 to 23. Not a drink, not a drug, not a pill, not a cigarette, not a nothing, zip, nada. And if you've ever done that, if you've ever done any time, that's exactly what it feels like.
Yeah.
If you've ever done time with no drink and no solution, then you know all the things that were already described, that restlessness. I'm not really restless. I just, wherever I am, I want to be somewhere else. That's not restless. Yeah, that's restless, and that's what I am. You know, like this is cool. What's going on now? But later it's going to be cooler, and I can't wait to get there. So I'm only half listening to what you're telling me anyway, because I'm mentally already gone out of the room. I'm restless, and I'm generally irritable unless everything's going perfectly my way. Then I'm easier to get along with, and I'm basically discontent. So the clock's just ticking, and the only thing that ever mitigated that for me was alcohol. Alcohol made all that go away. Alcohol gave me a sense of right place, right time. And right here, right now is just fine. And alcohol was the only place I ever got that. It was a spiritual experience. You know, I knew a new freedom and a new happiness. And take another drink of alcohol, I no longer regretted the past or wished to shut the door on it. Suddenly I had plenty of money and plenty of experience, strength, and hope to share with everyone who wants to listen. You know what I mean? I got a story for you. So alcohol did a lot of things for me I couldn't do for myself. So I came in and out of AA, and I was suicidal and sober for 6 months before I sat in a chair. Somebody welcomed me, and I heard the message for the first time. I'd been to dozens and dozens of AA meetings, but I heard that I got a problem I can't solve, and I don't have to go alone, and that if I would just avail myself to sponsorship and the steps in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, that I could be fine. And I said, yes, I'll do that. So it took me, I lay all that out just to tell you that it took me 6 years to concede to the first step, you know, to basically say, yes, I've got this thing and I need help. I can't solve the problem on my own. And then the very next thing I said was, but I don't believe in God and I won't believe in God. And none of you guys would argue with me. Everybody was like, that's cool, you can believe whatever you want. I kind of wanted you to argue with me, you know. And I had hundreds of hours on bar stools arguing about the non-existence of God, and nobody wanted to play that game in here, you know. You believe whatever you want. But you started to guide me gently. You started to tell me things like, that's entirely your affair, David. You can approach that any way you want. But could I suggest something? Could you stop saying no and start saying maybe? Maybe I can start saying maybe. And I began to pray. Began to pray on my knees. I wrote the inventory. I would have told you that I'm not afraid of anything when I got here. And I found out my number one fear is a fear of being alone. And when I say alone, I don't mean by myself, because I'm happy in my own company. I have an engineering mind. I like to piddle. I like to tinker. I like doing projects. When I say alone, I mean forsaken. I mean abandoned. I mean without a friend or compassion or love of any kind. That kind of alone. The alone that I feel in my soul. Lonely. Desperately lonely. That kind of alone. And I'm writing that down for the first time, and I look at it and I go, I never knew that about myself. I wonder what my second fear is. It's people. And I swear to God, that just glowed at me. It just came off the page. I was like, I'm scared of being alone and I'm frightened of people. No wonder I need chemicals to get along in the world. This is starting to make sense, you know. And I told that to another man. I took my deepest, darkest secrets to this guy's garage. And we sat in his woodshed, and I told him everything that I was going to take to my grave, as well as all these petty little fears and resentments and selfishness and dishonesty. But I let that stuff go that day, and I had the experience that's described in there. I felt like maybe I could be a citizen in the world. And he absolutely matched my inconsistencies with some of his own. You know, he gave me that experience and let me know that I wasn't alone. I wasn't the only one who felt that way. I wasn't the only one who did those things. And I went home and I prayed. And I began to make those amends, and my relationship straightened out. And all those things happened for me. And those promises, those beautiful promises, began to come true in my life. What happened to me and what happens to a lot of people, I see a ton of people come to AA and get well. And then they leave. And you may or may not see them again. You know, we love reading those promises at every meeting, right? We love them because we get stuff, you know? We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. That's true. We work diligently on these first 9 steps and start making these amends and cleaning up. We do get amazed before we're halfway through, and we do know a new freedom and a new happiness. So all that stuff is great. And I think the least quotable line in that is, we think not. You know, we always say that. It always baffles me. Why do we say that? We think not. Who cares? It says that these promises are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. This thought brings us to step 10. What thought? I'm assuming it's the sentence before. They'll always materialize if we work for them. You know? So, and just like Emma pointed out, this is a continuation. Like, I'll talk about it later, but I came in here, I'm selfish, self-centered, frightened, concerned about David not, you know, getting the goodies. I want things to work out for me. I don't tend to toss and turn at night, losing sleep over whether or not things are going to work out for you. You know? Me is what keeps me up at night, worried about me. You know? So, and that's my nature, right? That's just my nature. I was born that way. I didn't decide to have that any more than I decided to have alcoholism. It's just always been that way. So, and you took all my points, because it absolutely blows my mind, because it's, so we come here and we do these things and we clean up our past, right? 4 through 9 cleans up our past. And now here we are at step 10, which suggests that, why don't you keep doing that? Why don't you keep doing your inventory, right? When we did the inventory, we're not even talking about drinking anymore. He introduced the inventory as, he's already told us that selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of our troubles, not alcohol and drugs. Selfishness is what's going to kill me if I don't get rid of it, right? We must, or it kills us. I have to be rid of it. So we consider its common manifestations: resentment, fear, and selfish conduct, right? And selfish conduct is well represented in this piece here, where he talks about selfishness, dishonesty. I mean, that's my relationships inventory. Selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. So we already met those things, and he's telling me they're going to crop up again. This is your nature. It's going to happen. I love the line where it says our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. I absolutely believe that I'm either moving toward a spiritual experience, toward the light, toward recovery, or I'm moving toward a drink. Okay? There's no resting here. Although he gives us a quiet hour. Take an hour off, you know? He uses words in here like vigorously commence this way of life. So what does this look like practically in my life today, right? Continuing to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Sometimes that's a written inventory, and as Emma pointed out, nowhere in here does it say, hey, wait till nighttime to do that. I need this like from the moment I wake up, you know? And I've found personally that this step 10, these actions in here fit very nicely into phone conversations throughout the day with alcoholics. I talk to other men in recovery throughout the day, half a dozen men every day, and we can talk about sports, and we can talk about, you know, politics. We can talk about all kinds of things. But the beautiful conversations are when we're talking about what we're afraid of today, you know, or the toes that I stepped on this morning, you know, that I barked at my children. I lost my patience with my son this morning, and I didn't even have the grace to clean that up with him before I left the house. And it's just crushing me that it's going to be 4 more hours before I see him again, and I can hug him and tell him that I love him, you know, and that Daddy was wrong. Daddy lost his temper. Daddy lost his patience, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people that you bring this stuff to, I mean, you got to be careful who you talk to, because if you talk to some people in AA, say, how you doing, David? And I say, man, I'm having a difficult time, man. My son's going away to college tomorrow, as a matter of fact, and I'm just heartsick about it. I got a lump in my throat all the time. This kid has been my joy since he arrived here, and I really feel like I'm going to a funeral taking him to college. And most of the people that I trust when I'm talking to them, they're like, I know how that feels, brother. That happened to me. And they share their experience. Or you'll get one of you jokers say, how's that working for you? Or tell you all the reasons why I shouldn't feel that way. You know what I mean? But the fact is, I do feel that way. I feel heartsick and I feel sad. And I really do need to connect with another human being about that on a daily basis. Because otherwise, I'm going to do what I do. I was going to say do what alcoholics do. I'm just going to assume I'm not the only one. But I'll just phrase it in terms of me. I'm just going to pretend it's not true. That I'm not afraid. That I'm a big boy. And everything's fine. You know. And I'm going to present you my stage character, which is what I've done all my life. So this gives me the framework to discuss this immediately with somebody else. And usually in that doing, I'm reminded that I'm to bring this to the Father as well. I'm going to hit my knees. I'm going to ask for grace. And I'm going to ask for knowledge and strength to carry out His will. And how can I be loving and tolerant to this kid who's going off to college today, and he's full of his own insecurities and fears, you know? And up until this point, it's just been about me, really. Maybe I could be of service to him. Maybe I could be understanding to him. Maybe I could be loving and tolerant to him. But I don't get there without you. Mm-hmm. And I don't get there without willing to be there. That's not what I meant to say, but that's me. Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to continue on page 84. We have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition.
So that paragraph, what does my life look like when I change all those words to the opposite? You know, my life looks like that when I'm not, when I'm drinking and when I'm not drinking, and I'm not doing anything. You know, I would sit in my room by myself, and this was the last time I drank. And like literally in my core, I knew I was screwed. I was like, I can't do this. You know, and I had planned out the suicide, and I was like, I cannot drink anymore, you know? Yet I'm pouring liquor into like a plastic bottle, and I'm hiding it behind my dresser because I'm like, well, just in case I get released from wherever I'm going, this will be here when I get back. You know? Like, that is me, like, in myself. Like, that's my true being. Like, I cannot say no. And it's like, I fight everything and everyone, even alcohol. I had tried, you know, I really did try 100%. I voluntarily asked and like willingly went to this treatment center in Montana with a bunch of other girls that were 16 years old, like in my age group, and we're living together, you know, just sitting and being taught how to be good kids, you know, because I didn't want to drink anymore. I was always interested in liquor, you know? And when I was tempted, I did not recoil from it. I was drawn like a moth to a flame. I react insanely and abnormally. And I found that, you know, it was just over my head, automatic. I don't even understand it, you know? It's like this phenomenon, this sock in the dryer that you can never find the other one. I don't know. Just is. So when I start doing this and I start, this is like the meat and potatoes for me, you know, I stop, you know, like I said, I took a position, you know, and when I start living my life on a different basis, not my basis, a different basis, amazing things happen, you know, because I took that position. And those things that happen, I cannot explain. You know, I have diverged so far from that sitting in my room, feeling this, like, I literally cannot feel this, that I think the only option I have is to kill myself, from talking to other 16-year-old girls who are like, I'm screwed, help me. And I'm like, I've been there too, and this is what I did. I'll show you, I'll walk with you. And excuse me. So I start taking those actions, and then all of a sudden, I lay my head down at night, and I'm just so tired from, you know, doing these things, and I'm like, wow, you know, I didn't have to sit on my hands today. I didn't have to, you know, say, no, sorry, can't go, you know, because there's going to be alcohol there. No, I just didn't think about drinking, didn't think about not drinking, because that plagued me for a long time, too. Not drinking. You know, and it's just that fear, that insecurity of, oh, I'm gonna, you know, because I got sober when I was 16, like, I'm gonna miss out at prom, I'm gonna not be able to drink on my 21st birthday, you know, I've surpassed all those things. And, you know, recently, I had an experience, you know, it says we are safe and we are protected. I had the privilege of living abroad, you know, and culturally, Greeks and Italians, they don't care who you are, what you look like. You know, it's like AA reverse. They're like, we don't care how old you are, what you look like, what your skin color is. You drink, and, like, you can have as much as you want. We don't care. And I was in this situation where, you know, there was no understanding of what it meant to be sober. That was just like a state of being, like, oh, you're sober. Okay, 2 hours later, come meet us at the bar, you know. I don't drink, like, no. And I found where the meetings were. You know, I did that before I left, but I found where the meetings were. And I grounded myself in AA, and I continue to do a 10-step. Excuse me, sorry. I continue to do a 10-step, and I kept doing the things that I knew, even though everything around me was completely unfamiliar. And I got to stay sober through that experience. You know, and I love the last sentence. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. You know, the next paragraph kind of goes more into that, but the main thing for me is that I don't have the willpower today. You know, I can't sit here and tell you, like, yeah, I have the willpower to resist a drink, or I have the power. No, what I have is the option to accept spiritual help. And literally the 10th step is like, it's not the best tool, but, you know, it's the main tool that I use, 10, 11, and 12. The obsession to drink is at bay when I am doing these steps, continuing consistently. I have to be vigilant, you know, because I can sit here and talk to you all day about, you know, the suffering, the misery, the depression, da 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 da. I understand my story, you know. I can feel your pain and I can, you know, relate to you and identify, but I never want to go back to that. And I've experienced that in sobriety. you know, so I have the option to accept spiritual help. And this is where I get that, you know, relief and that that option. So that's all I have for now.
Right. So it says, and we've ceased fighting anyone or anything, even alcohol. It doesn't say, David, it'd be a good idea for you to stop fighting. You should will yourself to stop fighting. Mm-hmm. Fighting is bad. It just says we stopped. It says sanity returns. It says that if tempted, we recoil. We react sanely and normally. What happens to me when I occasionally think about drinking, if I think about it for a little while, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it, but if I spend more than a few seconds thinking about it, I begin to shake inside. I have a terror response. And for me, I believe that that is a sane reaction to me thinking about drinking. You know, I ought to be scared. You know, I know where I took me. Mm-hmm. I know where I went and who I put myself with and the things that I was capable of saying and doing under the influence of alcohol. So for me to have a, which is not to say it's different from I'm walking around afraid I'm going to drink. I do not have that. I'm not walking around afraid I'm going to drink. The problem has been removed. But it also says something extraordinary in there, that the problem doesn't exist, and we didn't, you know, decide that. What is, I'm starting to get nervous and I'm bastardizing this quote. It says, we will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That's the miracle of it, right? I'm not cocky or afraid. And this is how we react as long as we're in fit spiritual condition. So it doesn't say, stop fighting, don't be afraid, don't think about drinking too much, be sane. It just encourages me to keep in fit spiritual condition. And there's nothing in here that's going to tell me to do anything about that other than the 12 steps. I know we get a little flowery in here about our spiritual journeys and stuff, which is fine. I don't want to say anything controversial, but the program of action that he lays out is to do 12 steps, 12 simple steps, and that's it. So it's amazing if you think about it. I get to go to the jail. I get to go talk to these men on Thursday nights. I've been doing it for about 5 years, and there's usually anywhere from 12 to 20 men in the room, and they're age 18 to 88. and they're in they're in black and white pajamas, but it's really just sort of a light gray into a dark gray because they've just washed together. But those guys all know one thing. They know one thing about recovery. They know that when they get out, they've got to change their people, places, and things. And they know it to their soul. And how do you tell them that that has nothing to do with it? Because they know it so strongly, you know? Which I'm not to say, you know, it's a good, like, I get it, right? I get it. It's, if you're detoxing, it's probably not a good idea for you to go pass the afternoon on a bar stool watching the game. I understand. But avoiding these places or avoiding these people is not a program of action. And it's certainly no match for alcoholism. Mm-hmm. But what it asked me to do is to get into action in fellowship with you, in group, together with a sponsor, and do these actions. And if I do these actions, I observe myself in the condition where I'm not interested. You know, one of the lines from the other paragraph that I said nothing about that's so important is turning our thoughts and attention to others resolutely. Now, try that. Try to resolutely turn your thoughts and attention to one person, you know, and think of their needs and work for them. How can I be loving? How can I be kind? How can I resolutely turn my thoughts and attention to my job while I'm there and serve it? You know, how can I think about the people that, oh, so-and-so picked up a white chip last night, and this cat's going through a divorce, and this other guy's got some parenting issues. When I start turning my mind onto you and your problems and start making your problem my problem, I find myself in a condition where I'm not so important, and I'm not interested in fighting. I'm not interested in arguing. I'm not interested in drinking either. So it's really an observation of my condition based on the actions that have been taken. As opposed to what? As opposed to sitting home all day, thinking about me, surfing the internet, dreaming great dreams, thinking about maybe I need a new job, maybe a new family, maybe I ought to drain the bank accounts and run. These are things that will occur to me if I'm left in my own juices stewing too long. And then I'm perfectly willing to argue and fight and position myself and convince you of stuff, you know? So, yeah, that's it. When I'm in fit spiritual condition, I'm not interested in fighting or arguing or drinking. Thanks. Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, over on page 85. It is easy to let up on a spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve, contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It's the proper use of the will.
David over here is grunting and whatever when he came in, and I'm like a goose, you know, squawking and pooping everywhere, you know. I don't know, man. That's me in my cups. That's me. I'm an unlovely creature. And you know, this thing, this alcoholism, you know, it's not a wasm, and you know, that's cliche, but it makes sense to a person like me. Because I come in here and I start, you know, I get on board on the AA train, and at some point along the way, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna, you know, get off, and I got like my AAA card now. You know, I'm a member and I do all this stuff and I kind of advance and I got this now. You know, I know what I'm doing. And that's, you know, I get two warnings. First, we are headed for trouble. And what that looks like for me is that I start taking actions based off of how I feel, you know, in the moment. And when I'm, like, stuck in my feelings, that's my reality. So I'm, you know, restless. Well, stealing a car sounds like a good idea, you know? And I go and do that, you know? And my friends call me and they're like, hey, you want to make some, like, these bombs and blow up people's mailboxes, and I'm bored, you know, and I'm surfing the internet, coming up with these, like, dream vision boards about my future, and I'm like, yeah, and I'm doing this stuff sober, you know, and I let it crop up and crop up and crop up, and I'm not, you know, I'm going to meetings, and I'm like, yeah, I'll sponsor people when I get older, you know, and I'm like, yeah, no one wants to talk to me, I can't share. And slowly but surely, my life reverts back to the same, actually worse than it was when I was drinking. And, you know, I'm headed for trouble. Well, I'm in trouble. What's the second warning? Alcohol is a subtle foe. You know, and subtle means I don't see it coming. So, you know, I'm sitting in my house doing me, doing whatever I do. And I'm like, ooh, a drink would feel nice right now. And I sit in that thought. And, you know, thankfully, in my experience, you know, I was able to pick up the phone and I was able to call someone and ask for help, you know, but that's not guaranteed, you know? So, resting on my laurels, what does that look like? You know, I come to meetings 5 minutes before it starts and I leave right after. You know, I stop calling my sponsor. I stop being honest with my sponsor. I just went through an experience where I was calling my sponsor, but I wasn't saying anything about what I was doing. I was like, yep, I'm good, going to a meeting. And I was, you know, doing some selfish stuff. You know, I was in a relationship with someone that I shouldn't have been, and I knew it, I felt it, and I was like, nah, like, it feels good to be with someone, and I'm gonna do it anyway. And I suffered that spiritual consequence, you know? So, I'm not perfect, you know, I'm a human being, and I do not work this program perfectly, you know, but the fact is that I learn from my experience. I use that as a learning experience, and I try not to make the same mistake over again. Sometimes I do, you know, but in terms of letting it crop up and letting my life get to the point where I have to do a full-blown inventory, you know, I'm sitting in my house and someone's walking down the street from AA that I know in the rooms, and, you know, I see them and I run outside and I'm like, help me, I need to do an inventory and I haven't, and it just comes out, you know, and that's my conscience, that's what I, you know, have today. And I have to be careful when I'm doing that kind of stuff, because again, alcohol is a subtle foe. But it says here, you know, what we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. You know, so yeah, I'm not perfect. I'm not cured. But I wake up and I'm like, all right, I'm willing to do this thing today. And, you know, how do I do that? Well, it answers my question. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. Well, you know, I go to meetings and I hear about how, oh, my son had cancer and, you know, that's God's will. But that's God's will, you know, we're getting through it. Or, you know, this happened to me and that. No, I don't know what that is, you know. But for me, again, when I took the third step, my higher power became everything that I'm not. So when I'm in God's will, I'm doing God's will when I'm doing, when I'm not doing what I want, which is, you know, usually selfish, usually probably something dishonest. So when I'm in line with God's will, I know that it's the opposite of what I think, feel, or believe. And for me, you know, that's been my truth. And carrying that, spreading the message, spreading what I was freely given, you know, showing other people, you know, how I've, you know, done this thing for the past almost 5 years. And that's, I don't know, it's just, that's, you know, the 12th step. And I try to do that to the best of my ability. And yeah, that's all I have right now. Thanks.
Thanks, Evan. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. It's easy. That must mean it's not difficult. And, you know, like, rest on our laurels. I read that for a long time, and I thought it just was a polite way of saying sitting on your butt, you know. But it's your laurels or your accomplishments, your past accomplishments, your accolades. And I want to rest on my accolades. I want to do... I go grocery shopping like that. Like, I go to the grocery store as if I'm never going to have to come back to this place again. You know? Like, I treat everything like that. I want to be done with it, you know? I want to work really hard so I never have to go through that again. You know? Whatever. Store up enough money, enough time. You know? So, I'm bent towards resting on my laurels. I want to check the box and graduate. And this is... It seems to be anything but that. It says I'm headed for trouble and I'm not cured, the daily reprieve. Every day is a day, you know, so a lot of people talk about that, about the resting on our laurels. We're headed for trouble if we do. We have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition, right? You hear about that in meetings a lot, and you don't hear those last two sentences discussed very much at all, which are the kind of the summation of that paragraph. Like, every day is a day we've got to carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. You try that. I've never been able to come close. You know? But, and then it gives me a little prayer. You know, how can I serve you? And it brings me back to that keystone idea, back to that decision that we made in the third step, that my life is no longer my business. I'm here to serve. I'm yours. Build with me and do with me as you will. And I'm going to trust you to show me and give me the power to carry that out. That idea is going to pop up in every single one of these steps as we walk forward. So I'm so far away from a constant thought of others and how I might help meet their needs, but it points me to the practice, you know? And I'll tell you that I'll tell you what the trouble looked like for me, and it's exactly the thing that happened that I described earlier, where we come and we do and we get better and our life... you know, everybody in AA comes and gets the spiritual fire extinguisher out on your life and puts it out, and you cool off a little bit, you know, and you look around and you notice that, you know, the sky's blue and water tastes good, and, you know, maybe you get a girlfriend. You know, life gets better when you get sober, you know. And so I started experiencing those promises, and I leaked away from Alcoholics Anonymous, and what I couldn't see at the time was that there's a turn to be made here at the 10th step. It's the turn from cleaning up your past to living in the present. It's the roadmap for practicing these principles in all our affairs one day at a time. It absolutely tells me, these few pages tell me how to conduct myself on a day-to-day basis, one day at a time. And in the 11th step, as you pointed out, then we review that. How well did you do with that today? You know, I really do see the 10th step as my marching orders, but that turn I did not make. I took the blessings of the 9th step. I took the promises that you gave me. I took the better life that Alcoholics Anonymous gave me, and I leaked away from Alcoholics Anonymous. And I became the neighborhood block captain and the Cub Master and the PTA guy and the businessman. And I just kept leaking away from Alcoholics Anonymous because I'm a big deal now. Everything I ever wanted out of life came my way. And I didn't make the turn. So what happened to me was, you fast forward 15 years sober, no drink, no solution, no practice, and I'm driving around the city of Norfolk looking for buildings to jump off of again, because I don't want to live anymore. Mm-hmm. I've been invited to leave a marriage. My kids are indifferent to my comings and goings. My business is failing. I gave up the Cub Scouts and the PTA. And I'm just back into it. And never did want to drink. I have to tell you that. I never did want to take a drink. But it looked pretty good jumping off a building there for a little while. So what's wrong with me? If alcohol was my problem, not drinking alcohol would be the solution. But I get worse when I'm not drinking. Mm-hmm. I need help. I need spiritual help. I need all of you and all these steps on a daily basis. And I have to have a framework to operate from. Because I'm an idiot. What am I supposed to continue to watch for again? You know, I have to look this stuff up. You know, and start talking to people about it and walk it off one day at a time. And then I get to observe that my life is better, I'm better, I sleep better. I don't have anything, I don't have any unmade amends that I'm aware of at this moment. You know, I've shown up in front of everyone that I'm aware that I've offended. More will be revealed. But you know what? You know what? If I've missed you and you're in the room and you hear that, I'm open to talking to you about it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. All right. At this time, we're going to pass the seventh tradition basket. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. Are there any AA-related announcements?
I'm Grant. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Grant.
My home group is on Suffolk Big Book, Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. The first Tuesday of this coming month, the speaker is going to be the guy to the left of me, Iran. Jared, experience that you can help, and I'm sure you'll be at very least at the same we're also doing a workshop this coming Sunday, the 28th, at 2 p.m. It's called Common Wisdom Protects Our Heritage. That's on the traditions. We have four speakers, each covering three traditions. Harmony, Buster H., Jake B., and Alan B. are our speakers. 2 o'clock, we'll have food out. Bring a dessert if you're coming, if you wish. But we'll have other food provided by our home group, and there'll be food available, and then we'll have our speakers, and then after our speakers are done, we'll also have a Q&A session with the panel and those people who are educated in the traditions. And it's an open format, so if you have friends, family, etc., they're also welcome to join us. So please come out and have fun.
Thank you. Any other AA-related announcements? Yeah, I've got one. This group... September 19th, we're going to be having a supper and a speaker. We'll be finishing the 12th step the week before. So on September 19th, we're going to have Billy Hill here from Madison, Virginia. Potluck supper at 6, bring a dish if you wish. And then Billy will start speaking at 7. That's right here on the first press, September 19th. Yes.
Sorry, Alex, I apologize. The 50th annual Ikupa is coming up in Nashville, Tennessee, September 1st through the 4th. My car, my rental car, has one space available, I believe. And I know other people who rent rooms to crash in if you're interested. Let me know. We'll do Wednesday before that week, so a week from this Wednesday.
Thanks, Alex. Okay. There's some of these orange flyers for our group. They're over on the table if you wouldn't mind taking some back to your home groups. That would be great. All right. Sponsorship. Well, before we get to that one, let's talk about the home group. Well, all home group members, please raise your hand if you're willing. If you'd like to be a member of a home group, see one of us after the meeting. Newcomers, is there anyone here in the first 30 days? We'd like to just get to know you and welcome you if you raise your hand and give us your first name. Literature. We've got a literature table over here with look like quite a few flyers over there for some functions, AA functions. There's literature. The books have a cost inside. Just see me or one of the home group members, and the flyers and pamphlets are free. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. Anyone willing to be a sponsor, please raise your hand. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship in AA, I'll be available up here at the table after the meeting. Just come and see me. And reminder, smokers, please use the butt cam provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. And all meetings are audio recorded, and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net, so you can go back and listen to these two speakers or any of the other speakers we've had the past couple of years. In closing, I'd like to thank our panel again, Emma and David. Thanks to all who participated, helped clean up, and those that will help us close up. After the meeting, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be at Plaza del Sol. It's on 22nd and Colonial Avenue, a little Mexican restaurant up the street that some of us go to after the meeting. So come on out afterwards if you'd like. Do I have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164?
I'll do it.
Okay, Emma.
Thanks, Emma.
Probably sick of my voice. Sorry, guys. Our book is to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Amen.
And feel free to come up and thank our speakers after the meeting, and we'll close with the Lord's Prayer.
Thanks for your wise.
I'm fine.
Thermostat wars.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.